Blog Talk Radio.
This program is sponsored by T4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete or are looking for a solid foundation to stand on, as well as a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at T4PMuscle.com. And now, let's talk. Happy Thursday, Natty Nation. I am Desiree, and he is Kalen, and we are T4P Real Talk. So excited to be back with you guys. I've been absent for a couple of weeks, so I want to give a huge thank you and shout out to Mr. Kalen Patterson for carrying the show. Kalen, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine. Glad to have you back. You know, you've been missed, and you know, people were asking, you know, what's going on with the Thursday host. And I'm glad that they can understand now that I wasn't just pulling a chain. I actually did have things to do, and I was just trying to help out.
Oh, well, that's nice that actually somebody missed me. So that's very cool. And I've missed all of you guys, too. I had a chance to go visit some family and, you know, have just been taking advantage of time that I didn't have previously. So, but I am glad to be back. And I'm ready to jump back in the saddle. And speaking of which, tonight we have a most amazing guest, awesome to come back to. Her name is Andrea Castillo. Andrea, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing wonderful, thank you.
Awesome, awesome. And where are you joining us from tonight?
I actually live in Moline, Illinois.
Okay, so, well, you got all the cold weather just like we do here in Des Moines, Iowa.
Yeah, we have the same weather, don't we?
We do. Okay, I like the changing season. So, Andrea, if you're not real familiar, she is a promoter for the Spartan Natural Classic and an avid advocate and promoter for all things natural bodybuilding. I know you've been with us before, Andrea, but why don't you give us just a little bit of background about you for any of our new listeners that we have with us tonight?
Okay. Well, first of all, I don't think I'm special, but I do a lot, and I know a lot of people, and I know a lot of things that happen in front of the stage as well as behind the stage. I've taken part in helping out many promoters across all organizations. And, well, this will be going on my third year, but I've actually stepped up and promoted a show with my husband on our own. But I have helped with the DFAC shows, the OCB shows, a little bit with the NAMBF shows. I have been to NGA shows, but I haven't necessarily helped. IMBA, PMBA is where I've probably spent the most amount of time, traveled quite a bit across the country to help out, do things like that. I also judge periodically. And it all started because my husband at 49 decided that he was going to compete again when he turned 50.
And wow, I just happened, that's amazing.
Yeah, I happened to be online and I said, honey, there's drug-free shows now. And he's like, no way, really? So I found one. It happened to be that weekend. We drove to Peoria and caught a NAMBF show. We looked at each other, and he said, well, I look better than that now. And I said, all right. He's like, well, I want to do the Masters. I said, honey, you're about a decade short. I mean, a decade late. But you're going to be 50. And needless to say, he went on and competed about 8 times that year, won his first pro card, did the Yorton the next year, did the DFAC Worlds and the Olympia the next year, and I've been back to the Olympia every year since. It's definitely different, and it's a big production.
So when you say it's definitely different, are you talking about the Olympia or just the natural bodybuilding scene from the time that your husband, who is Ed Castillo, for anybody who's listening, for everybody that's listening, or the natural bodybuilding scene from the time that he left to the time that he jumped back in it?
Well, I've seen huge growth just in the time that he returned to the stage because when he originally competed in the 80s, there weren't natural shows, at least not that he knew about. And he did well in the NPC, but he's only 5'4", competes about 150 at that point. And to do anything better than winning a local show or a regional show, he had to take steroids, and he refused. So he walked away from the stage. Mm-hmm. And when he came back, the first show that he competed in was out in Omaha, and it was a pro-am show, and it really opened our eyes to the differences in the drug side or the performance-enhancing drug side, whatever you want to call it, steroid side, and the natural side, where people are drug-free. Mm-hmm. The environment is different. The attitude is different. The personalities are different. And it's very positive instead of being so cutthroat, in so many words.
Yeah, and that, I mean, and that's definitely, I'm glad that you brought that up because, you know, when people are looking at competing or getting into competing and trying to decide what direction they go, I mean, those are definitely factors that you want to keep in mind because at the end of the day, this should be fun and you should make a lot of good connections. You should meet people that, you know, motivate you and inspire you to continue on and improve. And if you don't have that good experience, you know, it could discourage a lot of people from continuing on in a sport that could really be, you know, something for them in the future.
Yes, absolutely. We've, like I said, we've done the bigger shows like the Yorton and DFAC Worlds and the Natural Olympia, and the international shows are a whole new level of competition, of camaraderie, friendships. We've made friends with people all over the entire world just due to natural bodybuilding.
So when you say it's a whole new level, like give us some examples on how the international competition scene is, you know, is something is different than what we might find here in our backyard.
Well, as you would imagine, anybody who's willing to spend a couple thousand dollars to come to compete is probably the elite where they are from. And they don't take it lightly when they do come. They come very, very, very prepared to compete. Even if there's a language barrier, because many of them don't speak English, they still travel to another country just to compete in natural bodybuilding. And as everybody knows, there's not a lot of money in natural bodybuilding.
No, there's not.
So they do it for the love and the passion of the sport and the camaraderie that they also meet and find when they come to the other countries.
And that's exciting. I'd never really have thought about competing internationally, but you know, I keep hearing more and more talk about it, and a lot of that is because I've been watching what's been going on with the Olympia, which I understand you were at. You were also a commentator, and I've just really been motivated to just to see that level of competition and sportsmanship. How was the Olympia this year?
It was big. It was probably one of the biggest Olympias that they've had, that I've attended anyway. It's growing very, very, very quickly, and it's just, I don't know how to put it into words except for it's really special. It's a four-day event. The first day is Thursday. There's registration, sign up. You do have to come with some patience, and then there's a VIP mixer with all of the country head organization people and the athletes. And then Friday is all day of amateurs. And then Saturday is about half amateurs, the remaining amateurs, and then all of the pro categories. So it can be a long weekend, but it's very exciting. And then on Sunday they have the awards banquet, the athletes brunch, the induction into the Hall of Fame, the pro autograph signing, and people generally gather after that to get Natural Olympia posters signed, take pictures, catch up, plan photo shoots. Some people head out right away and miss that. It's kind of actually the best thing about the Olympia, in my eyes.
Well, Andrea, you know, one of the things is I've always been, well, you know, we're both fans of the sport, so it's always good to see the people that show up. And I got the chance to talk to Rico this week, Tuesday, and he was telling me, you know, about all the people, and I said, you know, that's basically a who's who of natural bodybuilding, and that's just on the male side. You know, you were basically there for the duration, so you didn't have to go backstage or do anything. You know, as a fan, how did that, you know, at that level, like you said, with the physiques that were on stage, you know, is there any moment where you feel like you can get out of your seat and walk away, or do you just want to be there for the whole thing and like, well, you know, I can't even wait to go to the bathroom?
Yeah, it's hard because the competition level is high. It's extremely high. And you don't know who is from which country until the evening sometimes, if you aren't able to mix and mingle with the athletes. Introduce yourself, ask where people are from, or are active on social media and search out certain people that you knew that were coming. But it is exactly like that. It's like one class comes on, it's like, okay, do I have time to run to the bathroom? Which class is coming up next? Do I want to catch that class? Okay, wait, I need to wait 3 more classes, and then I'll run to the bathroom, and then run back. It was pretty crazy. And all of the classes, well, I shouldn't say all of them, but most of them were very big classes. Now, the IMBA, PMBA has probably the most categories or the most divisions that you can compete in. And they tend to have more options on the amateur side as well as the pro side for people to compete. Most natural organizations do not have a sports model category. They have an amateur and a pro level in that group for men and women. And they also have a physically challenged seated class, a physically challenged standing class. They have kids, they have teens, they have fitness, and then, of course, they have bikini, bodybuilding, physique, and figure.
Oh, wow.
But there's a few more in there. One of them that I really hope that somebody comes to compete in and goes on to the Olympia through the Spartan is the IMBA Angels. Now, I know not necessarily popular in the Midwest just yet, but if you were there and you saw some of the costumes and the stage presence that the ladies had in the IMB Angels, that was amazing.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that category?
Well, the shape or the body physique can be anywhere from bikini to figure. Now, their figure is a soft, full, feminine figure. No striations, no complete separation. And the posing is somewhat bikini-ish, but not too extreme. And the outfits or the costumes can be of any shape, size, form, pattern, colors, can be adorned with jewels, feathers, boas. One lady at the Olympia was done all up in ivy, which hers was really unique and cool. You can include shoes, can be stage heels, it can be sandals, it can be flats, it can be whatever fits your costume. It's kind of like a Vegas showgirl meets Victoria's Secret type class.
Okay. Cool. So this is a relatively new category. How long has it been around?
Well, it started in Australia last year.
Oh, okay. So this is really new.
Yes. And it really took off this year. There were some out in California that did it. There were some in Vegas that did it. Most of that division, I think, was probably Australian this year. And so they brought their big costume with them to the States.
Wow.
Traveling with some of those elaborate costumes had to be pretty challenging.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
I would imagine. I'm picturing large feathers and wings. I don't know why it must be the Victoria's Secret guy. Because that's what comes to mind. But that's what I'm picturing, trying to figure out how to either carry that on or get it packed so it doesn't get mangled in the luggage return.
Yes. And there's a lady, I guess, in Australia, and some of the ones that I saw backstage kind of turned into a fan-type apparatus.
Uh-huh.
So they were able to fold down somewhat. But, they're pretty cool. You can use head garb, a headpiece of some sort. You don't have to have a headpiece. It's really as elaborate or as delicate as you'd want to make it. And as long as it's not flammable, you're good.
As long as it's not flammable, no lit costumes on the stage.
Yeah, it kind of also reminds me of, like, Carnival in Brazil.
Uh-huh.
You wouldn't want something that covers you completely, because you want to show off your physique.
Yeah,
but
you probably still want to see, torso, legs, probably a little bit of arms.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to, I was actually transitioning, so go ahead and finish your thought, and then, because I wanted to talk more about you being a commentator at this year's competition for the Olympia.
The other new one that's coming in, and I wasn't quite sure about this, is on the men's side, and it's going to be a classic physique. And I thought, well, natural bodybuilding does look like classic physiques. But at the end of the Olympia, they brought out several men and had them in short shorts. And it really gave you an idea of the physique that they're looking for. It is a very classic, old school type of physique.
So this is somewhere in between, I guess, what we're calling physique now and bodybuilding, kind of, or how would you differentiate?
It's kind of like, the guy that took fourth or fifth in men's open pro bodybuilding from Australia, I can't think of his name right off the top of my head, he's like an ideal old school bodybuilder. It's kind of a bodybuilder look. Now, you have to understand, there's a little bit of a difference in the men's categories in the IMBA, PMBA. They have an introductory level called not men's physique. What is it? I can't think of it at the moment. It's a non-pro qualifying division, but it's an entry level physique. It's more about the looks, abs, not a lot of muscle development.
Okay.
Then you move on into men's physique, which has a lot of muscle development, and they actually do posing. They do all of the bodybuilder poses except for lat spreads. So it's more than just a pretty boy look with a nice set of tight abs. You have to actually have a good back. You have to have triceps. You have to have a good solid muscle base to do well in men's physique for the IMBA, PMBA. Then you have sports model, and that is similar look, very athletic look, definitely some muscle base. It doesn't have to be necessarily ripped to shreds, but somebody that you could easily see pictured in a men's fitness magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They have a speech to do, as well as some type of, I wouldn't really say costume, but really that's what it is. They pick a theme, and it's called theme wear. Some people do like a biking shorts. Some people do basketball, some type of athletic theme. And then they give a speech as to why or what fitness means to them.
Oh, yeah. I remember that, yeah. They did that at the North American. They did that.
Yeah, Truman Ward, if you know who Truman Ward is, he's a big men's physique, as well as men's sports model. He's got the facial look, he has the athletic build, the charisma, when he smiles,
Everything.
Stage presence. Yes, that's
Everything.
Sports model.
Everything. Wow. Like I said, it was a who's who at that show, and wow. Wow, I mean, to be there live, yikes.
Ooh. Yeah. Now, you go into classic physique, and that's going to be basically, you know, it's hard for me to describe a minute ago, but I've kind of collected my thoughts, and I would say it's a cross between men's physique, which has a good bodybuilding base, a definite degree of leanness, and bodybuilding, which is still full muscle bellies, but it's showing off your legs. Because you wear the shorter shorts. You don't use the board shorts. So you have to have legs to do the classic physique. And then, of course, in men's bodybuilding and the IMBA, PMBA, they do like a full look. They do not want, you can come in and be ripped to shreds and have zero body fat and be the size of a very small person and be up against somebody who still has very big, full, round muscle bellies, and the person with the full, round muscle bellies is probably going to win. It's not a dieting contest in this organization.
That's so true. Wow. I'm glad you brought up Truman, because he and his wife looked amazing. I mean, that was just, that's something special that you can have two physiques at that caliber and that level and be prepared for the same show. Especially when you're talking about a show that big as the Natural Olympia. Wow.
Yeah, there were a lot of good men's physiques, but there were just as many good and on the women's side, too. I mean, it was phenomenal this year.
Oh.
Go ahead,
Dan, because I'm geeked out right now.
You're geeked out about Truman. Well, I have seen him and his wife. I mean, there are plenty to be geeked out about in the profession. But, from the pictures that I've seen, that was just an outstanding show. Definitely something to aspire towards if you've never been there and are looking for a really, well-put-together, large competition to meet lots of people. So you are an announcer at this year's show. How do you get invited to be an announcer? How does that whole thing work? And which categories were you an announcer for?
Well, I actually helped Mike Newman out just a little bit this year. Not as much as in the past 2 years. The last 2 years, I've basically been a co-host with Mike doing the on-live jargon and discussing the categories and so on and so forth. This year they used a different company and they only had one mic set. So we were kind of passing it back and forth between the two of us and trying to catch people that walked by to get interviews, talk to them, have them give shout outs to the people back home, whether it was domestically or internationally. But it's fun. I don't know, maybe because I just know a lot.
So were you given commentary throughout the whole competition or just specific segments? Because I know when it comes to at least the Spartan, one of your focuses are, pro figure women or figure women. So I didn't know if you were, particularly honed in on those categories or if you were just all over the board.
No, not really. It was just kind of like hit or miss. Some of the better categories, I would kind of sit down next to Mike and we'd kind of banter back and forth a little bit on who we thought was, you know, taking the best shape or conditioning. But this year I was kind of watching men's physique go down. I'm talking on the pro side now, but, you know, men's bodybuilding was huge. Men's pro physique was huge. Women's physique was huge. Women's bikini was huge. Most of them had 24 to 25 in a class in the pro.
Wow, that is huge. And that was in the pros? Wow.
That was in the pros. Now, I want to clarify something, because a lot of times at the local and regional shows, they'll have a tall, medium, short class, or they'll have, you know, two classes. Typically at the Olympia, there's one class, and it's winner take all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's done for a couple of reasons. It's because Denny and Diana think of the Olympia as natural bodybuilding's Olympics. And they don't have divisions and subcategories and height classes and disadvantage classes or any separation when someone goes to the Olympics. It's everybody from every country all do the same and winner take all. So typically they only do the gold, silver, and bronze, and sometimes they'll place fourth and fifth on stage. But that's why it's being done, where only the top three get recognized. Sometimes the top five, if the class is really, really big, or, you know, there's some exception to the rule, but typically it's only the top three that take those podiums. And some people don't understand it going into the Olympia, why everybody's in one class.
Got it.
And that's why.
Yeah.
Because when you're put into classes, I mean, unless you're competing in the overall, I mean, it really, you know, narrows the range of competitors that you're going to be up against. But that is a whole other spectrum when you are there and it's, you know, like you said, winner takes all and it's everybody and it doesn't matter about your weight or your height or, well, I shouldn't say weight, but height or any of those things. So that's a pretty big deal. I mean, and it just speaks to the caliber of the people that are walking away with your top three or top five.
Yeah,
anybody
who earned a top three placing at the Olympia had to earn it. Now, this year they did, for the first time, break down men's pro bodybuilding in the open. And it was announced, or kind of a impromptu vote taken during the pro press conference on Friday with Mike and Kiyoshi. And they decided that they wanted to split it in two. And Kiyoshi was, you know, kind of saying, well, why? This is the best, biggest show of them all. This is our Olympics. It should be winner take all. But if you guys want to break it down by height, we'll break it down by height. And then you looked at the short class and the pro open men, and it was like, oh, man, there's probably your top five anyway. So those guys all had to fight.
Wow. So,
I mean, you had,
I mean,
go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I keep forgetting there's a delay, so I apologize if I'm talking over you.
No,
it was,
that's
kind
right.
of exciting.
Well, it sounds way exciting.
No, no. What really just blows me away, because, you know, I've always been a Justin Figueroa fan. And that guy, no matter what, is going to bring, I mean, something special to the stage just off his personality alone. The fact is that his work ethic goes hand in hand with that. And then you put him in the class that he was in. It's really, it's just mind-blowing. And then you find out, you know, that Martin Daniels decided to show up as well. And, I, you know, regardless what you see in pictures, it doesn't do him justice live, because his body is truly a gift for anybody that's a fan of natural bodybuilding and just being a fan of physiques alone. You know, I can't even imagine, you know, how must have looked going up against those guys.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, at the Olympia level, people see a few pictures and they're like, well, this person should have beat this person or, you know, whatever the case may be. But when you're there, it comes down to the slightest detail sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You don't work your calves. You just got beat by the guy standing next to you. You didn't pose your tricep as well as you should have. The guy who just was standing next to you just took your spot. It is a dog-eat-dog world when you make the top five at the Olympia or the top three to stand on the podium. You have had to earn it. You have done your work. You have done your homework. And it's definitely not just diet.
And now Andrea, one of the things that I've always been appreciative of is that you know, regardless if somebody wants to hear it or not, we'll tell them exactly how it is. And, you know, I know it stems from wanting to improve the sport, but also salvage the person's ego and pride before they unload on social media and embarrass themselves, you know, because of something they will see later on, you know, when they cool down. But for that to happen, you know, and this was happening long before you started promoting your own show. This is something you've been doing basically from day one since I've known you. There's a respect factor that really comes that most people don't understand until they meet you. Can you speak on that, to where that started and how it's grown and how you've actually been one of the more trusted people? And, you know, I've seen where they ask you instead of the judges. You know, what do I need to improve on?
Yeah, and I think that some of that comes from the amount of time that I've spent online researching different organizations and their requirements or their guidelines for certain categories and studying posing, looking at different ways that different organizations work. Each one is unique. Each one is individual, but it's easy to cross over, but you have to be educated. And you have to have somebody with fresh eyes, is what I like to call it, looking at you. And if you're seeing the same person regularly, then you don't see the minor changes or you miss things that you could have seen if you didn't see them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like, say, for example, Angela Yao. She did the Olympia last year. She looked phenomenal. Me, Mike Newman, and Jason Hansen were all at the commentary table, and we were like, oh, well, Angela's got it. They moved her out of the way. I said, no, she's not in the top three. Those are your top three. She got off stage. She came over, and she said, what do you think? I said, welcome to your new category. It's called physique. You did not fit the figure criteria today. There was a little bit of disappointment. We talked some more. She's like, do you think? I said, you need to scrutinize your pictures. Follow what you see in your pictures. Cut off your head. Look at yourself. Look at your physique. Go back to the criteria. And
yes.
Sure enough, she placed fourth. And she was like, okay, well, if you think that I can do physique, if you think that my physique is at physique, then I'm going to do physique. And look at her this year. She took the DFAC World in Miami Pro Physique, and she took Pro Physique at the Olympia.
Yes, and honestly, because of what you told her, she is one of the best researchers on the different classes in the different organizations. And, you know, she gives that credit to you. And I was just amazed because now she doesn't do a show without being prepared.
No. She does her homework. We talk periodically. You know, she uses Terry McBee out of St. Louis as her coach mm-hmm. through THT. Yep. And she comes prepared. She does her homework not only with her coach but outside of her coach on her own.
Mm-hmm. And, you know,
and when you say homework.
That came from her, from you being, you know, you're not abrasive when you give the critique. You're being honest, and some people take it abrasively, but that's not how you're speaking at all. You know, and that's not because I know you. But I heard you saying that, and you were basically being as affectionate as possible when you were saying what you were saying, but it was definitely to the point. And, you know, some people just aren't ready for that sometimes.
Yeah, I agree. Some people aren't ready. I'm still, you know, when I judge, there's something that's not discussed openly when you're on a judging panel, at least not that I've had the experience of, where they tell the judges, okay, this is how we want you to judge. We want you to judge based on our criteria as close to ideal as possible. If they're the best physique on stage, they still have to fit the criteria or they do not get awarded first place. So when I judge, I look at the best physique that fits the criteria for that organization without going overboard. If you fall outside and you've done too much conditioning or you carry too much size, then I can't award you first place because that blurs the lines between categories.
Mm.
Then I will award somebody who has slightly overdone it, but still meets the criteria. Just they're just too lean, too shredded, too separated. They just don't fit the criteria. They've gone into the next category. Because I reward them for the work and the effort that was put in.
Mm-hmm.
Then I will look at those that still need the most amount of work to reach the criteria because they have not met the criteria yet. But it's not discussed, at least not anything that I've been part of, when you're judging. It's like, okay, here's the criteria. But they don't tell you what order, when you're looking at the physiques that are in front of you, okay, do I award the best? Or do I fit the criteria? Once I fit the criteria, then what do I do? Do I go over or under?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So that's how I judge. I've gotten a lot of feedback from athletes. Well, she was the best one. She was hands down the winner. She didn't fit the criteria. I couldn't award her first place. She has a phenomenal physique. But I couldn't award you first place because you did not fit the criteria. You went beyond the criteria into the next category.
Yes. I've seen that to where, you know, people are downright frustrated. And I was like, well, you almost got to look at the coach and ask them, you know, well, you were the eyes away from the diet and you couldn't see that? You know, it's almost like they're blaming, they're looking to blame somebody because they're saying, I'm the best look, and you say, all right, for what category? You're almost pigeonholed into a spot where you have to be brutally honest and call somebody out, you know, and instead of saying, you know, the show blew it, because I've had plenty of times where I had to disagree. I think a good example was when you had went down to visit the Heart of America, and the lady, you know, backstage, she looked great. And you actually had to pull her to the side and let her know, hey, you looked awesome, but your posing was terrible. Nobody could see what we saw backstage.
Right. Yeah. You can have the best physique standing backstage and be beat by a person that you never thought in your wildest dreams was going to beat you. And then you're looking at them going, I saw them backstage. How did they beat me? It was your posing. They posed better than you. They hid their flaws, and they showed their strengths, and you showed your weaknesses.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. Des?
No, I was just going to say posing is very critical, and I don't think it gets a lot of the credit it deserves sometimes as far as, you know, prepping for a competition. And it is so true that you can lose because someone's posing was better than yours, even if their physique was not.
Yeah.
You know, based on the category you're in.
Yeah. Sometimes, I mean, it's even my husband's Achilles. You know, it's his downfall. He can spend 1,000,000 hours in the gym and watch what he eats and have a phenomenal physique. And if he can't pose his legs when he's on stage, you've done lost. Doesn't matter what you look like standing next to them backstage.
Yeah. And it's really a shame. And, you know, and I know your heart goes out to him, and you know you're that mother that really cares and concerned. But it's like, okay, I gotta tell you what I don't want to tell you, but you gotta hear it, even though you don't want to hear it.
Exactly.
But yeah, at the end of the day, that's the best thing for them, and more athletes need to have that.
Yeah,
I try to tell my husband, I'm your biggest fan, but I'm your biggest supporter, but I'm not your biggest fan. I will support you till the end of the earth, and I will tell you the truth, but I'm not a fan that will tell you anything to feed your ego or to give you a false sense of security that you can't be beat, you've got this in the bag, there's nobody that's going to look better than you, you look great, you're going to win easy. That's not me.
No. No, it's not.
That's the real love. The real love, like with the real talk.
Yeah.
No, no doubt. No doubt. Well, good plug.
Well, Andrea, we are coming to the part of the show that is always the sad part, and that's the part where we come to an end.
Yeah.
But I know, but I have totally enjoyed just listening to you and your perspective, and I think you've brought a lot of things to bear, you know, just as it is with your personality, with anybody that you're dealing with. I think that a lot of our listeners can take away and maybe fine-tune the way that they're approaching their training or fine-tune the types of questions that they're asking their coaches or people around them to help them honestly have the best perspective of what it is that they're doing. You know, I had a friend of mine who's also a competitor, and after one show, she was just totally distraught because a promoter who had also been a judge had tried to tell her, you know what, you will not get your pro card with the type of physique that you're bringing to the stage right now in bikini. And she took that to mean that he thought that she would just never get her pro card. But what he was trying to tell her is the package that she was bringing, it wasn't a bikini package. It was blurring that line. It was crossing more over into the figure package. And if bikini was where her heart was and where she wanted to stay, then she needed to take a step back and look at then how she needed to fine-tune what she was doing with her presentation and, you know, her physical look in order to get what she needed to do. And so I think when she finally stepped back from that and took another look at it and, you know, made a few tweaks, she did come back and she did win her pro card in bikini. But it's a tough thing to hear because you're automatically thinking that someone is telling you you can't do something when they're trying to tell you this is what you need to do in order to do what you want to do. So,
yes.
I think that's the biggest thing I've taken away from a lot of what you shared with us tonight.
I like to tell people, I'm sober and you're drunk.
Yeah, I like that.
Because when they're so far deep in prep, there's sometimes you just can't reach them. No matter what you say, you're just not going to reach them until they sober up. And they kind of come to a little bit more. It could be before the show. It could be after the show. But that's kind of like the way that I look at it is I'm completely sober. My eyes are open. My eyes are clean. My eyes are clear. And you're kind of under the influence of your euphoria of gym time.
Hmm.
Yes. Well, yes.
It is. Now, if that's not real talk, I don't know what is, Kaylin.
So before our time is up, do you have any final questions or comments for Andrea?
No, she covered everything. I mean, just being at the Olympia, I'm super excited for her. I know it's always a big thing for her where she really wants to get out there and be around the best and help support the best and basically show, you know, what America's about. And it's also nice to win that award and be there in person. The USA wins again.
Yep. Well, hey,
so,
you
Andrea,
know what
real
I
quick
say before we
go ahead. You go and then I'll finish up.
I just want to say that I'm really proud of the Midwest athletes that went out to the Olympia, well, and down to Miami too for the DFAC Worlds. But we had Monty Bailey win men's pro physique, you had Brandon Stewart win men's masters pro physique, you had Ange win pro women's physique. You had Christina Comprado from Ohio. She won women's bodybuilding and pro women. So the only one that didn't win a pro spot or category from the Midwest was pro sports model and pro bodybuilding, but they both went to U.S. with Rico and Truman Ward. But Midwest cleaned house. I've always said that the Midwest athletes have the best athlete physiques that I've seen, and I've been all back and forth across the U.S.
Yes. Yes.
So thumbs up for the Midwest. You cannot beat that, even if we are a little biased.
No.
So, awesome. So, the only thing that I wanted to ask is I did not want to be remiss and go through this whole show without finding out if there is a 2016 date for the Spartan Natural Classic.
Well, I'm going to have to move it out of June because the second weekend of June is where we've had it the last 2 years. Unfortunately, that is Ivy Potter, my good buddy Tanner. It's her daughter's birthday as well as my granddaughter's birthday. So now that they're getting older and they're not babies, it's getting a little bit too hard to tell family, hey, sorry, I'm busy for the whole day and leading up to it that week. So I think Leaf has got the DFAC show up in St. Paul, I think, the second weekend of June on the 11th. So I'm considering moving to August 13th. I just need to find a venue now for that date that doesn't cost
$3,000. Got it. Got it. And where, in what city are we looking at?
Well, it's probably going to still be in the Quad Cities area. Okay. We have a lot of options for places. I just need to find one that, as a promoter, you see different things and you see a different point of view. And one of them, when you're a promoter, is the best locations come with a hefty price tag. So if you don't have the athletes and the community support to support that, sometimes you have to take a step back, reevaluate, and get the best for the athletes at the most reasonable amount of money and do some fine-tuning on your schedule for the day.
Got it. Got it. So with that, I'm going to say, Natty fans, keep your eye on Facebook. I think Spartan Natural Classic has a page there, and I'm sure they're going to be posting information and updating there as soon as they have it. So if you're looking for a great local show, that's also a qualifier for, refresh me, Andrea, is if you earn the Spartan Natural Classic is a pro qualifier, and does that, if you perform well at that show, does that enable you to move on to, is it the Olympia? Can you get to the Olympia from your show, or what's the trail there? Okay, that's what I'm getting at.
Now, the East Coast is going to take a different route because they're adding in a national show, and you have to, there's a little bit of adjustment on the East Coast, but in the Midwest, it's still going to be I think the North American will still be in July up in the Chicago area, if I'm not mistaken. And then the Spartan, we're trying to land us a spot for August 13th. And both of those two will be qualifiers for the Olympia. Now, I do want to say something else about the Olympia and the Universe. Those are traveling international shows. So the reason that we have a lot of international athletes that come to the Olympia and the Universe is because in past years, they've been in other countries. They won't always be in the U.S.
Okay.
Well, and that's good to know, especially when you're prepping, you know, looking at budgets, schedules, all of that kind of stuff. So,
right. The Olympia or the Universe did a couple years in Chicago, and then it moved to Austin, and people were thinking that it was going to stay in Chicago, and I tried to get as many people to know that's a traveling show. It does not stay in one location. It doesn't stay in one country either. So if you can hit up the Universe or the Olympia, which are the two biggest titles for the IMBA, PMBA, do it while you can.
Noted. Great advice. So I hope all of you out there listening have got that written down, and keep your eyes open for dates and locations for 2016 in general. I mean, we're getting ready to turn over a new leaf with the new year, and the season's going to start all over again. So lots of opportunity out there, you know, regardless of where you are at in your training schedule or if you're just planning on jumping in, 2017 will be another great year as well. So keep your eye on all of that moving forward. Andrea, I have loved every minute having you with us. I thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. And we're definitely going to keep our eye on you and the good things that you and your husband, Ed, are doing. So want to wish you a great evening and also, you know, a great holiday season, because more than likely won't see you before then.
I know. This time of year is so sad. Thank you for having me on. I'll see everybody in 2016.
I know. It's so crazy to be saying that already. So crazy. So on behalf of P4P, myself and Kaylin and Andrea, thank you everyone for listening tonight. And if your body is a temple, let's build it.